Hello, AdultBibleStories.com, our vicarious God and his vicarious people, reading from the book of Job. Here's chapter 27 and verse 6. I hold, this is Job speaking, I hold fast my righteous and will not let it go. My heart does not reproach me for any of my days. And that's a common thing. You know, we know we hear here Jeremiah says the heart is deceitful among all things, who can trust it? And which is true. But Job is saying here, I've looked everywhere that I could have done wrong. I've checked my heart. I've checked my, you know, my thoughts. I've checked my emotions. I've checked what I could have done wrong. I've checked my checklist, and I don't see anything wrong. And that's not unusual, because Paul did the same thing. Paul says, I don't know why you guys are accusing me. My heart doesn't condemn me and everything. Not to say that my heart is right. Only God can knows the deep things of the heart. But as far as I know, that there's nothing, I did anything wrong. And that is, there is a difference between condemnation and conviction. Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit. Conviction says, you've done this thing wrong. I'll need you to correct this. Repent of this. Check this. That's conviction. Condemnation goes straight to your character. Condemnation calls you a bad person, an evil person, and that you can't do anything right. Well, if you can't do anything right, then how can you be convicted? Because how can you, you know, be justly accused? Because that's who you are. You can't do anything about it. So condemnation is always about your identity. It's always about, it's always vague. So you can't have, you don't have anything to correct, because if you had something to correct, you could correct it. You could change, but it's very vague. And so the Holy Spirit always brings conviction. The Holy Spirit will always put his finger on the very thing that you need to correct. And Job is saying, none of that has happened right now. Because all his friends are throwing all kinds of accusations at him. But he's saying, my heart is not connecting with any of those things. I'm not finding myself guilty in anything that you're saying. So let's move on to chapter 28. This is Job continues, verse chapter 28, verse 28. And he said to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. To turn away from evil is understanding. And of course, that's what it is. Proverbs says that. Ecclesiastes, I think, says that. By the fear of the Lord, man depart from evil. That's how you know if you have the fear of God, the fear of the Lord, you depart from evil. If you continue in evil, then you don't have the fear of God. You don't fear, you know, those kind of things. So turn away from evil is understanding. A lot of Christians don't understand that. Chapter 29, Job's summary defense, verse 12. It's because I delivered the poor who cried for help, and the fatherless who had none to help him. The blessing of him who was about to perish come upon me, and I caused the widow's heart to sing for joy. I put on righteousness, and it clothed me. My justice was like a robe and a turban. I was eye to the blind and feet to the lame. I was father to the needy. I searched out the cause of him who I did not know. So Job is making his case that, hey guys, I've checked my heart. I've done all the right things. I know what I'm doing. I'm walking as a Christian. Jesus, you know, said this, love your enemies. I am loving my enemies. I'm giving them food to eat. I'm giving them, you know, drink. I don't know why this has happened. I don't know why there's anything I can correct on here. So he's making his defense. And then Job's final appeal was found in chapter 31. Whew, yeah. I have made a covenant with my eyes. How then could I gaze at a virgin? And this is part of my Samson Delilah teaching, is you need to make a covenant with your eyes, not look at a woman or a man, you know, in the wrong way. Jesus says if you look at a woman with lust in your heart, you've already committed adultery. And once again, man judges the outside, but God judges the heart. So a lot of people out there, we point our fingers out because they got an infidelity and was somebody's mate that wasn't their own. Yet there are tons of people who are in pornography and tons of people who are undressing people on the streets with their eyes and their mind, and they think they're okay. God judges the heart, and that's what, you know, Job is saying. He says, I don't have a secret sin. I'm not objectifying. I'm not looking at people as objects. I'm not objectifying women. I made a cover my eyes that I will not gaze at a virgin. I will not think about it. I can't help that I might find her beautiful. I can't help that a thought will come to mind, but I'm not going to multiply that thought, because when you multiply that thought, then you're guilty of objectifying people. He goes on in chapter 31, verse 29, says, if I rejoice at the ruin of him who hated me, or exulted when evil overtook him. So there's another case the scripture talks about. If you take, you know, great joy in your enemy or your somebody who's done you wrong and their losses and their chastisement, then the same thing's going to come upon your house. And Job says, I haven't done that. You know, God doesn't rejoice or take any joy of any that perish. And the scripture tells us, too, that we shouldn't rejoice that our enemy perish. Scripture does say that when the enemy does perish, the righteous rejoice. And I think that's a little, you know, I think that finds, that's a little bit different, meaning we find some, that we no longer under that oppression, that we have a place to go, but we should never be overjoyed or have joy that somebody is perishing or hurting. We need to have compassion even on our worst enemy. So if I have rejoiced at the ruin of him who hated me or exalted when the evil overtook him, then Job's going, then I guess I do deserve this. But he's saying, I haven't done that. The verse 32, a younger friend of Job comes up and rebukes Job's friends, three friends. And then chapter 33, this young man begins to join the three friends and rebuke Job. But apparently this guy, you know, does it rightly. Because God takes over the rebuke, and when God corrects, he corrects Job's first older friends, his three friends, but God doesn't correct him. And then God has, you know, talks with Job. Chapter 34, verses 9, says, for he said, so this is Elihu, the younger guy, for he has said, it profits man nothing that he should take delight in God. So he's accusing Job, saying, you're saying there profits you nothing. God's going to, you know, God gives and God takes away. So God took away. I guess there's no profit in walking with God. And of course, a lot of people have said that. You see that through scripture. God gets on to people, angry with people. Malachi and Jeremiah, Ezekiel, saying, you're finding no profit walking with me? Well, we need to have profit walking with God if it's just for comfort and compassion. Even if he did nothing for us but save our souls from eternal hell, and we walk with him and every bad thing happens to us, we should see that's the least profit of walking with God, that he's with us in the fire. You know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the fourth man was probably the Lord Jesus. So there is profit even if there's nothing happening. There's a profit in a relationship of just somebody suffering with you. And Job's friends suffered with God, or suffered with Job the first week. That was profitable, but when they opened their mouth, it became, you know, in debt. But it's very. But anyway, Elihu is charging Job of saying that walking with God is not profitable, which is, Job has never said that. He said some things that maybe went that direction. Elihu continues, you know, to condemn Job in verse 35, or chapter 35, verse 2. Do you think this is to be just? Do you say it is my right before God that you ask, what advantage have I? How am I better off than if I had sinned? And so he's kind of going on the same thing, saying, God, you're treating people the same way. There's no favoritism with you. Of course, there isn't. But there's no benefit of serving you. There's no benefit of doing right because you're treating people that are doing wrong and people treating the right the same way. So what benefit is you? And I hear people all the time saying that we need to love all people and everybody's our family. You know, and well, what benefit then is it to be your wife? What benefit is it to be your children? What benefit is to be your friend if there isn't special benefits? You shouldn't be treating everybody the same way. If somebody gives you your heart, you shouldn't be treating them the same way you treat somebody on the street that hasn't, you know, shared in the same ideals and the same values of you. We do need to treat those people that are around us, that are comforting us, that are in covenant with us, better than the ones who are around us. And God does the same thing. No, God doesn't love one person over the other. God is love, and he loves all people the same, but he doesn't treat all people the same. He treats people based on their willingness and on their response to his love. And so Elihu is, you know, saying that Job is saying, is my right before God that there's no advantage of you. And I think Eli's friend has gone too far. Job was questioning things like that. Job was looking at things like that. But I don't think Job crossed that line. Chapter 36, 37, and 38, the Lord answers Job. Now, you want to talk about a rebuke. This is the biggest rebuke in Scripture, when God just up and down rebukes Job. You talk about, you know, I'm going to kick you into next week. Well, God did that. God kicked Job around the world. He kicked him from the east, and he just kept going around and around the world until God stopped him and catched him with the catcher's mitt or something. But this was a big rebuke, and we need to read this on a regular basis, that we don't, you know, think lightly of God and know that he does have our interests at heart. So this chapter 38, verse 2 says, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? And I've done that too. And you need to be careful when you're saying things when you're in depressed, when you're saying things that don't go right. You just need to be like Job's friend and keep your mouth shut. That's right. Sometimes the best thing, that you can be your own best friend by keeping your mouth shut. And then God has spoken that to me. I've given counsel to somebody because of things weren't going right. And God had to correct me and says, who do you think you are, darkening my light? And you do not want to be corrected. But God chastises those he loves. So I do take great benefit and great love that God does correct me and doesn't let me continue to open my mouth. So I'd rather have God's rebuke than not hear God at all. Chapter 40, and the Lord said to Job, shall a fault finder contend with the Almighty? He who argues with God, let him answer it. So, you know, if you're going to find faults, it's better off finding faults in yourself. Don't go looking for faults in God's, because one, there is no fault. God is the one who is the plumb line. God created all things. He can't be at fault. And if he was at fault, he'd be right. And so, who argues with God, and let him answer it? We don't want to do that. It goes on, the Lord challenges Job in verse 8. Says, will you even put me in the wrong? Will you condemn me that you may be in the right? A lot of people do that. A lot of atheists put that. That's why they're atheists. It's not that they don't believe in God. They're just, you know, they believe in God. They just don't want to believe in God. They're offended by God. They're offended by his ways. And so that's why they fight against him. And so they put God in the wrong. And they and themselves in the right. And you do not want to be there. And then chapter 41 continues with, and then chapter 42 is Job's confession and repentance, and it finally wraps up in this long, long book. And goes on to verse 10, and says, and the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave twice as much as he had before. So there is double for your trouble, some people say. This is not the only place where God gave double. So Romans 8:28, all things work out for good. There's a love of God and contrary purpose. So don't automatically assume when bad things happen that it's God who's carrying it out on you. Sometimes it's just you reap what you sow. Sometimes the thief is involved, you know, Satan. Sometimes he comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and God had nothing to do with it. You could say, well, God could have stopped it. Yeah, he could, but there are reasons he doesn't always stop that. But he, you know, sometimes he does allow things, and sometimes it's not really much about him allowing it. Sometimes it just happens, and if we want to keep a good heart, if we want to walk with the Lord in integrity and in his love, then we need to know that Romans 8:28, that God, you know, will work all things out for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. That doesn't work out for everybody. Some people says it's going to work out, you know, or some people say, well, things happen for a reason. I just believe things happen. Well, they do. Of course they happen for a reason. But you need to find out for what reason are they going to continue to happen. So if you keep getting some fruit that you don't want, then you need to find out what seed you're planting. But nevertheless, that we need to know that God is for us and not against us. That God is going to work things out. That if we make the wrong decision, or if somebody else makes the wrong decision, and we get the, you know, the ugly end of the stick on us, then God has got a way out. God is going to bless us. God is, you know, thinking of us on every judgment he makes. So that's what it is about the book of Job.